I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here as we engage in another worship service to our Heavenly Father. This evening, we will have services, so plan on that, to join us as we worship God again this evening. The elders thought that the weather being as it was, the roads would be bad, but evidently it looks like they are passable, so we will have services this evening. This morning I'm going to be talking about the godly life. It is a subject that is near and dear to each and every one of us hearts. And also we have many examples in the Old and New Testaments concerning men and women who led a godly life. A life that is exemplary of what God wants from each and every one of us. I'd like to start off, first of all, this lesson with an introduction. And then, the next section, we will talk about God's Word. We will look at what prayer is in our lives. We also will look at the aspects to living a godly life. Finally, we'll conclude that lesson with some thoughts. In any sort of successful organization, whether it be a business, a group that gets together, or even a church, communication is an integral part of that organization. And also, communication is essential in relationships. Relationships we have with God, relationships we have with our families, relationship we have with our spiritual families, and also the relationship we have with others in the world. In order for us to let them know what our thoughts are, we have to communicate those thoughts. God communicates with us. And how does He do that? Well, back in old times, patriotic age, He communicated directly with the heads of the family. And now, God communicates to you and I through His Word, through the Bible. What is our communication with our God? How do we communicate our thoughts to God, our petitions to God? And that's via prayer. We studied many, many lessons on prayer. And it's crucial to us to communicate with God, to let Him know our thoughts, let Him know our feelings, let Him know what we are struggling with, our troubles, let Him know what our temptations are, so that He can help us. And when you read the Bible, you can get some comfort and consolation in your lives to see what God expects of you during your Christian walk of life. The Word of God isn't just a book of fables, myths, or legends. To the child of God, it is the very Word of truth. The world may take the Bible as another book, a book of poetry, a book of ideas, but yet Christians take that as the Word of truth. It's the means of God communicating to you and I. What is the value of the word? Well, there are many factors that go into this. First of all, the Bible is spiritual food. We read in Job chapter 23, verse 12. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job feels that God's communication to him is greater than food. In Matthew chapter 4, we read, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So in order to live a godly life, we need direction. We need the path to follow in our life. And that we get from God's word. The Bible is also considered milk for the baby. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. As you glean through God's words and follow his precepts, you'll grow into salvation. The salvation that all mankind is seeking after. Also, the Bible is meat for the growing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the Hebrew writer says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So as a Christian grows, he needs meat from the word of God, solid food, so that you can build upon that in your life, so that you can be approved of God. Each and every one of us grows at a different rate and different level. But it's up to each and every one of us to attain to the best of our ability the way God wants the individual to live. The way God wants us to go out and proclaim his word. The way God wants us to live in that right relationship with him. Also, the word of God is bread for everyone. We see in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. When Jesus was here on earth, many people had the opportunity to listen to God, to walk with Jesus. What would have been your walk? What would have been the your pleasure to listen to Jesus if you were in his, if you were here when he was walking the earth? Would you turn your back on him? Or would you follow him? We see his disciples followed him, but yet when he was going to be crucified, were they with him? What would be your stand in that? Question I ask myself time and time again, what would I do? What would I have done? Hard question. You see, when God expected Abraham to offer up his son in Genesis, he did that without question. What would I have done? What would you have done? Something we have to really evaluate in our lives. Prioritize our lives by putting God first at all costs. Also, the word is honey for those in need. We see in Psalms chapter 19, verse 10. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That's God's word. Very sweet and pleasant. It comforts us. It gives us satisfaction and consolation in our lives. Also, the word of God is light. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, we read, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Also, the word of God is truth. In John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." We also see that the word of God is a mirror. We look into it and we look in ourselves. We measure the word of God to our lives. In James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Look at that word. Make application of God's word to your life so that you may bring others to him and also walk in a right relationship with God. Also, the word is like water. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." The word is a cleanse. The word is cleansing to each and every one of us. Also, we see that the word, as it cleanses, chapter 5, verse 26 of Ephesians, "so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water, by the word." We also see that the word quenches. In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The Word of God is our guide. It's our path that we should follow as we journey on this earth, so that we may be approved of God. Also, the Word of God refreshes. Psalms chapter 119, verses 149 through 150. "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law." How do you know what the ordinances of God are? We don't just, it doesn't just come into our minds. We have to learn. We have to glean from God's Word. We have to be guided by the Holy Spirit when we read and study God's Word. Also, the Word of God is the seed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God." Also, the Word of God is a sword. We read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. So God's Word is like a sword. We see the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and acting and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge thoughts and intentions of the heart." We should always have the Word of God on our minds. We should use it as our God, as our guide in our godly walk of life. Also, the Word of God is like a hammer. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer it shatters a rock. The Word of God can build us up. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Also, the Word of God can tear down. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, "Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with a sword of my mouth." And also, John writes in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, "For his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty." So the Word's going to pierce you through the heart if you are not walking with God. Also, the Word of God is a fire. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more of his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it, and I cannot endure it." So the Word is like a fire. Also in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, "They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" So the Word of God is our guide. It's what God expects those who follow and love him to follow in their lives. So God communicates to us via the Bible. Now we communicate to God through prayer. We have many, many lessons on this, on prayer and how to pray and what to pray for. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." We should be praying constantly. But our attitude should be one of thanksgiving. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul writes to Church of Colossians, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Being, we should be grateful to God for everything he has given us. Even the very air we breathe comes from God. So with that comes our godly walk of life. And like I said before, the Bible gives us many examples of people before that walk on this light, on this earth, that walk with God. We read in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 5 through 7. Talking about Hezekiah. "He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him." An example for you and I. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord as we should trust in God. Not only his walk of life, you go to the Hebrew letter in chapter 11, you could read about the many who are faithful to God no matter what the cost. He clung to the Lord. He was loyal to God. He loved God. And he had fellowship with God. Something that we should have in our lives. He did not depart from following him. We should follow God and what he expects, the way we should live in our lives. He kept his commandments. Something that we should have on, indelled upon our hearts, keeping all of his commandments. The Lord was with him. The Lord will be with us if we walk in his ways. Also Hezekiah, he prospered. We will prosper too. Maybe not in the values of the world, but yet we are seeking something which is more precious, and that is eternal life. So as you go through this life, our faith should be one that is solid, one that is growing. We should be faithful at all costs. We should have fellowship with God. The way you do that is you listen to His Word. Let the Holy Spirit guide you through reading His Word. Understanding what God expects of you and of me. You also should follow Him. Follow Him like Abraham did, blindly. We shouldn't let the world influence us in our way we serve God. Also, prayer is necessary in our lives so that we can communicate to God. We can petition God. We can give Him thanks. We should put our trust in God at all costs, not trust in our own human thoughts and our own human abilities, but trust in the Lord. We should meditate on God's Word all the time. And also, we should obey God. No matter what will happen in life, we should always obey God. We should depend on the Holy Spirit, and we glean His guidance via the Word. We should always give God and to others. Give God our best to our ability of doing His work, bringing others to Him and helping others. Finally, we should be forgiving all people as He has shown us the mercy and grace by accepting you and I as His children, as His people, as was the case with His children of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, but in today's time, His children, His saints, the church. If you're not a Christian and you want to join the body, we invite you to come up this morning and be baptized into God's church by confessing the name of Jesus, repenting from your sins, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And if you're a child of God and you need the prayers and assistance of saints here, please come forward as together we stand.